Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing our show. Hopefully, Tom, that windy, dusty weather is behind us, and we're going to have some pretty decent weather coming up for this weekend for sure.
Well, I hope the dust is not going to be a problem.
Yeah, I hope not.
But other than that, over the next week, the weather should be darn tolerable.
I hope so. Looks like it anyway. It's Buckmaster on a Friday in the Bustos Media Tucson broadcast complex in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio. Today is Friday, April 14th, 2023. You actually get a little bit of a break here if you haven't done your taxes. Monday, Dylan Smith, is the deadline. I just thought I would let you know.
Monday is the deadline for me to file my extension.
How did I know? I'm directing to you and because I had a feeling you would be doing an extension.
Well, I mean, I'm not in a rush to get back a refund because giving the government a interest-free loan is kind of a silly move. So.
Yeah.
Try and balance things out. You don't want to pay too much because then the IRS comes looking for you.
Yeah, but that can happen. Anyway, Buckmaster on 1030 KVOI, The Voice for Tucson's trusted source for news and talk in our 13th year with the radio program. And I think, Dylan Smith, you beat me by maybe 6 months, so I'm venturing to say you're in the 13th year with TucsonSentinel.com.
13, 14, I don't know. They all kind of run together. What year is it anyway? There were the before times, and then there's now, and something kind of happened there. I'm not quite sure what.
Where has the time gone? 35 years now for me here on TV and radio in Tucson. We have our worldwide live listening, our podcast, buckmastershow.com, our telephone interviews on the live line, and you are, folks are always open, and we hope they will join us, 790-2040, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Media shout-outs, TucsonSentinel.com, Dylan Smith with me in studio. Dylan, thanks for all your support.
Thank you, sir. And, you just mentioned 35 years here?
35 years. I came January of 1988.
Congrats.
My first TV interview over at Channel 6, the first week, was Evan Meekum.
Oh,
do you remember that guy? Laura Conover with us.
I do, which is amazing because let's just be honest, I was 8. So I just gave away my age, I was 8 and nonetheless, impressionable.
Yeah.
And he left an impression.
Mm.
That's what I'd
say. That's a very charitable assessment.
Isn't it?
Wow.
I know, I'm so professional.
Just came from the Bay Area TV and I walk into this interview with Evan Meekum and this guy's being impeached and wound up. Poop. That was it.
Impeached and recalled, investigated otherwise.
Everything you could imagine.
Right.
Other media friends, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, Dan Shear. Thanks, Dan, for all your support. Tucson Local Media Group supports us. They have a portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview, Laura Conover returns, the Pima County attorney. We're trying to get Laura on, and she's been really good about this every 3 months, so every quarter. So this is her quarterly visit. Laura, a Democrat, elected to head the Pima County Attorney's Office in November of 2020. Folks have already met Dylan Smith, editor, publisher, and the founder of the online news service TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan is president of the Arizona Press Club and past chair of Lion Publications, which is doing pretty well, right, Dylan?
Yeah. There's a growing movement around the country of local independent online news organizations fixing local news.
All right, Laura Conover, 2 years and a quarter. One of the things you ran on, one of your centerpieces, is something called restorative justice. Kind of known in your business as RJ. What is it? Are you moving in a direction to kind of accomplish some of the things that you talked about over two years ago when you were running as kind of an unknown? This is your first political office.
Oh, yes. yes. Very no name. No,
I mean,
no name ID.
To the public, you are known, obviously, in your profession, but
among my family, I was known, and not far beyond that. And I'm happy to be here, and thank you for this question about restorative justice, Bill. It was absolutely a huge point of the campaign. So let's define it. Restorative justice seeks to make a victim as nearly whole as possible again. That's the goal of it. Most programs are very victim-centered in that sense. We have some restorative justice aspects here in Pima County, but only for juveniles. The long-running teen court is somewhat ancillary. The community justice boards that my predecessor founded are very popular, and they touch upon restorative justice, but only juveniles. So we really wanted to bring it into the adult system, and it would be the first in the state of Arizona, with a huge nod of gratitude to our tribal brothers and sisters who've been engaging in this since time immemorium, and have been educational and instrumental and helpful in this. So
can I add something here?
Absolutely.
Try to clarify.
Absolutely.
So for a victim, is it kind of to try to make the victim, for want of a better phrase, whole again?
Absolutely. That's the exact concept. And there are frustrations within the traditional criminal justice system. It's slow. It's painful. It's a hearing every 30 days that a victim might feel that they need to be at or dragged to. And the wheels can turn slowly, especially during COVID. So for cases where it's appropriate, and where the victim so chooses, because they have complete veto power, complete control, but if they choose to engage, it can be a way to reach an agreement outside of the system and be returned to partial or fully whole again much quicker. And the hope is in a much healthier way. You know, the data across the nation where these programs are used, the what's called the recidivism rate, the rate by which a person, a defendant or an accused, participates in restorative justice, their rate of ever being in the system again is a fraction of the rest of the population. So wonderful benefits, right? So, you know, I came in, of course, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. The state legislature swept all of our diversion funding the first year. The second year we went after it again, because it falls under the concept of diversion. They restored it to everyone but Maricopa and Pima. That's the Arizona State Legislature. So I grew impatient. This is a preview, Bill. We haven't really press released this yet. Mm-hmm. We hired our own director in-house to force it to happen. And only 2 months in, which was about a week or two again, only 2 months in, she garnered her first significant grant, enough that it is going to happen. We are going to start calling for volunteers, and it's going to happen.
After so, 2 months?
Yeah, she's 2 months in. Her name is Emmanuel Fahey. Mm. She is a go-getter, and she's giving birth to this, and it's going to happen. Okay. And so we're very, very excited.
Let's bring Dylan Smith into the conversation.
Can you give us some examples of the sorts of cases where this is would be used, employed? Are you talking about kind of petty crimes, more personal one-on-one conflicts, or would it be used in a violent crime?
So, We spent 2 years and during the transition as well studying other jurisdictions where they have it, and it was sort of a lot of low level and personally kind of related issues, especially where the victim has questions and wants to be heard about the harm that occurred. So I'm thinking of a mother home alone late at night with the kids while husband's working, and believes that they've been broken into, and it's quite frightening. And then she chose restorative justice and learned that a college kid, quite intoxicated, thought he was trying to get into his own home, you know, two doors down. And so her explanation of being restored was that she wasn't targeted. She wasn't, you know, once she understood how young and the fear went away that, you know, and then he, of course, had to enter into an agreement and make amends. And, you know, and there was a little bit of property damage or what have you, but she was so restored in that way. And there's sort of a million examples of
that. And
then
so he does or does not end up with a criminal record because of that?
He does not. And I think that's, you know, if he enters into the agreement and if he satisfies the agreement, and the rate of that is very high too, because they know what's at stake and they know they've been given a chance to not be in the system. They walk away without that felony conviction, which is so much better for employment and housing, and it's better for the labor market. You know, the more we can have restoration without permanent markers of felonies, where we can, we're going to have better rate of return on everything.
Is there a kind of sort of case where you don't think it would be appropriate?
It absolutely. You know, I think there are areas where we're certainly not going to experiment with initially. You know, domestic violence immediately comes to mind. There are complex cases where restorative justice may not be the right fit at all. But that's also why you make it really victim centric, and you give them the control of either I either want this or not. And I'll add just one more layer that they can choose restorative justice, and then they can choose how. Mm-hmm. You know, they can be fully into that circle and face the person who caused them harm and be heard and tell them about it, all the way down to, I don't ever want to hear about this again. He or she's just got to make it right. Or, you know, a victim advocate reading a letter. And, you know, so there's all these layers you can choose.
Domestic violence was kind of the thing I was thinking of, because it might be, you know, in some cases, a relatively low level crime, even though, you know, perhaps horrific for the victim who experienced that. But the level of coercion involved there is, you know, off the charts, right?
Right. Right. I think that all of the examples I studied, most of them were strangers, I could say, or in more of a mediation sense, right? Neighbors who've gotten increasingly, you know, angry, and then there's that sort of mediation aspect of it as well. But domestic violence is, you know, it's its own thing.
Yeah.
It's its own thing. Well put.
All right, why don't we pause right here? And when we come back, we'll pick up on this restorative justice. Does the expungement of previous marijuana convictions, does that, Laura Conover, fit into this area of RJ? No?
I would say that it's separate, but you bring it up because anytime a person can fully make amends and then move back fully into society and be employed and housed and all of that, that's healthy.
I'll tell you something that's very healthy is Mona's Danish Bakery, Dylan.
Right. Correct.
How's that for a segue? Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, and Laura Conover gives a big affirmative thumbs up, because I know Laura loves bakery goods.
I do.
Wide variety of bakery goods up at Mona's. They are open right now for lunch. Folks are, they are waiting in line 6:30 in the morning, because they're not dumb. They wanted the first crack at the bakery case. The stuff just coming out of the oven Tuesday through Saturday, 6:30 in the morning, Sunday, 7 a.m. And again, my advice, get there early for the best selection. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. Dylan, what would you go for right now?
You know, honestly, right now, I need another really good cup of coffee.
I knew you were going to say coffee. They can take care of that at Mona's. They've got great coffee. What about you, Laura? What are you thinking about?
Chocolate.
One of the chocolate croissants?
Yes. Or, everything that they sell chocolate-related is amazing.
And what am I thinking about? An almond croissant would go very nicely right now. All right, we'll pause right here. More with Laura Conover and Dylan Smith. Be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Dylan Smith is my co-guest host today from TucsonSentinel.com. Laura Conover is here, Pima County attorney. Let's pick up a little bit, Laura Conover, on this, the expungement of previous marijuana convictions. Could you give us an update on where we are on that?
We're still live on our form at pcao.pima.gov, live on our form where you can, it takes only about a minute, Bill, to fill out a form, and then we are happy to do the work for people. And now there are clinics across the county, which is really neat to see, where people can go and then it's submitted to our office. Unfortunately, we haven't reached, we haven't had reception on the ability to file mass number of names under case numbers the way Maricopa County Superior Court allows.
Like huge bundles.
Yes.
This has to be done
They
locally.
Do it en masse, yeah.
But here it has to be done individually?
One at a time.
Oh, that takes a long time.
It does. It does. It's been a surprising response, but you never know when the tide might turn. In addition to that, Bill, in January, a sealing law went into place, as in to seal your previous record, which expanded it beyond just simple possession of marijuana, and it includes a much broader majority. And so we've updated a course on that, and there are clinics going every week on how to...
Let me ask you, is it the timeline, how far back are we talking about that someone may have a conviction?
Bill,
is that open-ended on the backside?
Yes, and we had people walking into those early clinics.
60s type people?
Yeah.
Like my generation, talking about my generation?
100%. Still trying to get a simple marijuana possession conviction, a felony, off of their record and paperwork going back to the late 70s and the early 80s.
Wow.
And that's so depressing because it means that it has hung over their head this whole time.
Held against them when they've gone to get a job. And,
right.
Different.
Right.
So anyway. The difference there is the expungement just completely tosses out the conviction and no longer exists legally, right?
Whereas
sealing just makes it so the public can't see it, but it's still on the record someplace?
That's well put. That's well put because, yes, when we do talk about sealing, I think the question is, are you going to get a national security clearance or is that still going to show up at some point? And I think people should prepare themselves. Yes, it is going to show up. But as far as employment and housing, we're hoping it's going to be meaningful. You know, applying to college, all kinds of things.
And these cases are generally not where there's other criminal activity involved, but just basically simple possession cases.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's not like somebody was convicted as a dealer who was, carrying some serious weight, but somebody caught with some personal use at some point, most likely, or they had a little bit for their friends for a party or something.
Yes. And you bring up an interesting point, Dylan, which is that the conviction is for simple marijuana possession.
Mm-hmm.
And goodness knows, I dare say, especially in Arizona, the war on drugs was alive and well here, right?
Big time.
The court's concern that it could have been a greater weight and pled down and wanting to investigate on a case-by-case level, I think just deprives us of moving forward, but that's their prerogative,
and that's why the local superior court judges are not taking like big packages, big stacks, and just rubber stamping them. They want you to show that this was not a case that was pled down from something more serious, but just to push things through the court 20 years ago, they pled out.
Correct, and so that painstaking one at a time was a real shock for us because they just fly through in Maricopa, ironically.
Tom brings up a good point. Tom on the other side of the glass just sent me a message, and it's really a basic question, but when someone has something on their record and it was illegal at the time and now it's not illegal, why is that not just taken off their record?
That is a fantastic question. Thank you for asking it, Tom. So when California did this, they didn't make it automatic. And a couple of years later, they had to redo the entire process in California to make the expungement automatic. We perhaps did not learn that lesson. And so our statute, likewise, is not automatic. It should be. It should be. It should just be automatic. I'll boldly declare, and that would have saved us all this, but.
All right. It was almost 10 years ago this month that Lewis Taylor pled no contest to 28 counts of murder in the 1970 Pioneer Hotel fire in downtown Tucson. He was released after spending, I think it was 42 years behind bars. Mr. Taylor wants to be exonerated, and he wants some other things. He wants compensation. There have been a bunch of paperwork filed, right, Dylan? In this
two ongoing lawsuits about different things, with hundreds and hundreds and probably thousands of pages filed in the courts. Many of them sealed, so the public doesn't know really what's going on with them.
What can you say, Laura Conover, about this whole exoneration issue?
Well, I can say, of course, what I've said before, which is frustratingly limited as it stands right now. But what I can say is that I obviously made a promise that we would build what's called a conviction and sentence integrity unit, and we did that. The unit accepted review and went into a 17-month review to look at whether Arizona law now would allow us to return to the court on the criminal side. So I want to make clear that I'm talking only about the criminal conviction. And at the very end of the 17-month conclusion, Arizona law is clear that you have to have new evidence of actual innocence, and that new evidence would mean something presented to us after 2013. So it's following the nationwide reports that called into question the arson. It was very deliberative. It was an excruciatingly difficult decision. We decided not to move into criminal court on the conviction, and that's where it stands. I can't comment further, and I've shared this with so many, and I've tried to explain. I can't comment further because everything else is now the subject of proposed depositions where I might be answering further questions in court. And given that, I can't play it out in the media. I have to respect, I will respect the rules, and I will let it play out in court. It's frustrating for me. It's frustrating for the media, 100%. And as long as we're reporting it fairly, then that's where it lies.
As a private citizen, this gets, well, it get, you say you're frustrated, and I understand that, but I guess the private citizen is not sitting here in front of Dylan and myself right
there
now.
There was a period recently of several weeks, maybe almost a month, in which the court ordered that you would not be subject to a deposition. Why didn't, during that period, did you not speak out? Now, Taylor's attorneys went back to court this week to again try and force you to be deposed in this case. But you had a substantial period of time in which that was not an issue. And you were removed from the case as a defendant. Your lawyer filed that she was no longer representing you in this and that you were not going to be deposed in it. You could have talked then.
That's a very interesting question. The problem is that there are, as I understand it, and I'm certainly going to be double-checking this afternoon, but there are two pending cases.
No, there's the state case and the federal case.
Right, and there's movement to depose me both places.
Okay.
So that's the, I think that's the answer.
The rule that keeps you as a politician, an elected representative from the people, from commenting on a political issue?
Well, it's not a political issue. It's pending in the courts. Forgive me. It's both. So it's both. It's mm-hmm. absolutely both. It's a political issue and it's pending before the courts. And the subject of deposing me is before a federal judge and a state judge. Am I looking for the time when I will be able to speak on it? Absolutely.
And you said you have been quoted as saying, if I need to walk away from politics to do the right thing, you said you'd do it immediately.
Oh, that's easy to answer. Absolutely. You have to be able to do that. I can't. And I mean, I'm blessed. I have an amazing family that's so supportive, and so I can if I have to. And that does remain an option for me.
Dylan, anything more in that area, or can we move on?
Well, I've kind of related, possibly. You don't run to be the top prosecutor if you don't want to be involved in controversial discussions, cases.
Oh, certainly.
one of the other recent ones was, the case of the shooting death by former Tucson police officer Ryan Remington, which you successfully sought to indict him. A grand jury returned an indictment. That was tossed. His defense attorney, the former police officer's defense attorney, got that thrown out. He went back and tried again, and that grand jury decided not to indict him. That was in January. That case is, you could bring it back for a third shot at an indictment. Are you going to do so?
Before you answer, clarification, is this the Lowe's?
Yes.
Could you, where the wheelchair situation?
Yeah, it was a man in a wheelchair who had people at the store across the street say he shoplifted a toolbox and threatened someone, flashed a knife at them. Mm-hmm. The officer was working a security guard gig at that Walmart, followed the man across the parking lot, shot him 9 times in the back, and he was very, very quickly fired by TPD.
Yeah. So now, go ahead, Laura.
So a couple of things. One, I'll double down. I think in two plus years now, I've realized that the job is to make the most difficult, most controversial, most disappointing and frustrating and angering decisions possible. In other words, every decision that gets to my desk means a whole bunch of brilliant attorneys didn't have
somebody else is dealing with the easy ones.
Yeah, right. And that's true across the nation. I mean, like the most difficult cases are before us. So then the second thing I want to say is that ethical rules 3.6 and 3.8 forbid me from discussing the facts and circumstances of pending litigation, and I will not violate that. So what I can do, though, is I can refer to the public record. The public record is clear that we found the evidence required us to go to the grand jury. The court responded to that indictment and sent it back. Does the law allow us to return for a third grand jury? It does. But it's mired in litigation in that same court now. And so that's what the public record would show. And generally speaking, we will recall that the last time Pima County took an officer to a jury trial for an unlawful shooting stemmed from events in 1989. Hmm. So the record's clear about what's happened in the first attempt to do so in Pima County and where it's gone since then. And we're just going to continue to follow the evidence and do the right thing in the most difficult circumstances.
In the meantime, the state agency that certifies police officers, AZ Post, is moving to revoke Remington's certification so that he would not be able to be an officer anywhere in Arizona.
Mm. Could he be a security guard?
If someone wanted to take the insurance risks okay. to hire him, yeah.
Okay. All right. Before we let you go, Laura Conover, Pima County is having a difficult time hiring at just about every level. Some departments, as you know, there are 1 in 3 vacant chairs in the office or whatever, vacancies. What about your office, the Pima County Attorney's Office, and how is that impacting your day-to-day work?
It's a tale of two stories for us. We were able to get the first agency-wide pay raise since 1997. It took me 14 months of work with the county, but we got it through. And that was very helpful. There was a honeymoon period. I was fighting against, I was fighting against Pinal County, who could offer a $30,000 raise in a shuttle. And literally, it's called the Pima County Attorney's Office to the North. So for, for a decade, it's just all of the people trained here for the last decade or more. And so there was a honeymoon period. We got 9 prosecutors back from the previous who had left in the previous administration. We got 9 of them to come back with a combined 117 years of felony trial experience at just the right time when we really needed that boost. We have 5 more coming next month, 5 more attorneys starting next month. 2 of them are veterans. That being said, we remain lean. I don't think we're as bad off as many, many, many other agencies, especially law enforcement, but we are lean and it's hard. Their caseloads are too high. The volume, the pace, and the stress, the work that they carry is so traumatic. That's just what they're breathing in every day, all day.
And when you said Pinal County shuttle, I was thinking of a literal shuttle that they would come down here with a van and take people up to Florence.
They do. What? They do. They do. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You park somewhere. I can't remember where you park. Yeah. No, they pick you up.
They literally have a shuttle?
It's, you know, I love the good people who live in Florence. I used to visit there once a week in my former job, but it's not the easiest place to live and work. It's Florence, Arizona. And so my counterpart there is, he is clever and he is good at making sure he's got a $30,000 raise and a shuttle. To make sure he's got quality prosecutors.
Boy,
and
he's marketing it, huh?
Oh, he went back. So he went back to his board. So after our agency-wide pay raise since 1997, he went back to his board of supervisors, as he should, and just bumped it right back up to put me in the same place.
The county seat, Florence, Arizona, Pinal County. Dylan, do you have anything more? We're a little bit over. Anything
that I've got a million more questions.
I know you do.
One that kind of pops out, and maybe there's a succinct answer. In the midst of the pandemic, you made a move to really dial back prosecuting lower-level drug crimes. Not just marijuana, but you know, simple possession cases for just about everything. Got a lot of pushback from many local law enforcement agencies who kept arresting people and bringing them to the jail, which is what you were seeking to avoid with that. Where are you now with all of that?
Well, to the extent that we have come out of the pandemic, that obviously has been a huge help. So that I think our Steps Court, which is a pre-indictment, it's the first pre-indictment drug court. We can pour more and more simple use cases into that, and we're continuing to grow the capacity and the population there, with the hopes that people get treatment, and they aren't system involved. They peel right out.
Better
into
to get
treatment.
Somebody cleaned up and continue working, being with their family, being a member of society, than just seeking to punish them because of their problem.
Well, absolutely. And you know, how did the war on drugs work out for us, right? I mean, I can jail a person, I can criminalize them, I can give them a felony, and then they're worse off than they were before, and so they go right back to the neighborhood or the corner where they were, with no options and no treatment and worse off, and that harms the community even more. I mean, we have to break out of that cycle. We must. And I know people are suffering out on the streets, including neighborhoods and homes and small businesses. I know that. I'm extremely conscious of it, but we have to be smart in our solutions.
Tom, just a note here, rather than just go one-on-one with Dylan. Dylan, would you mind if I go with Laura for another brief segment?
Certainly.
All right, we'll take a quick break here.
I totally mind.
Laura Conover sticks around. I've got a couple of quick final questions. We'll take a break right here.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back, Buckmaster, on a Friday. A couple more minutes with our Friday Focus interview. Pima County Attorney Laura Conover. Dylan Smith sticks around as well from TucsonSentinel.com. What about your plans? Are you going to stand for re-election now? You've been in office 2 years and a quarter. Have you made made any decisions?
I see you saved the big question for... I know that.
What are you? How are you leaning?
I know that the work is not done. Okay. I know that the work is not done. That realization hit that what we need to do after that 44-year partnership. You
44-year partnership of the previous administration's culture.
Right.
For under two different Pima County attorneys.
Right.
Go ahead.
It's a real dedicated commitment here.
So you're really leaning toward going again?
Well, I think...
Of course he
yes.
is.
Okay, all right. Yes. Yes. And, okay. And I will say that my old team got together and just started planning without me, without asking me, which is actually, I think, the sort of like one of the sweeter things that's happened in my life.
So they just moved forward. They've already started moving forward.
Without me.
All right.
But on my behalf, what I really want to say is that I am so busy at work. I think people know that. And I'm focused on the city elections on my
2 minutes project. Left.
Yeah. Sorry.
Dylan, we each get one question. You go ahead.
Well,
that means a 1 minute answer, Laura. Okay.
I think we will both have probably some related questions on mm-hmm. this. Certainly, you know, a bunch of our talk today has been about, you know, being, I guess, dismissive is kind of the right word for petty crimes, that, you know, people who commit certain level offenses are not having records. But there's a certain amount of petty crime that is happening in this community right now. Quite often from people who are living on the streets or maybe of the vast majority from people who have drug problems and driven by that. But it's affecting people who, you know, are having break-ins, their cars broken into, mm-hmm. business owners.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, for a lot of folks, that's more than just a, you know, petty hassle. And how is your office approaching that?
No, it is a form of harm, and it's absolutely, these small businesses who've been here for years, it's not like they're trapped. It's not like they can move. It's certainly shouldn't have to. It's absolutely a pressing concern. The question is, what is not whether we act. Of course we act, and there is accountability. I mean, we are booking people and bringing them to court, and then diverting them into treatment in the hopes that we get a better, smarter result at the end of the day. But that is accountability. That is disruption, and we've got to just continue together to be smarter about what the outcome is.
There are a lot of people in this community would like to see all the homeless people just rounded up and thrown in jail, Laura Conover.
The only thing I'll disagree with you is I don't think it's a lot of people. In fact, I think it's actually a small percentage of Pima County, but their voices is loud. Dehumanizing people is not okay. It's not okay. We have to remember that the people we are looking at on the street, that was someone's baby, that is someone's brother, that is someone's daughter. And the moment we lose sight of that, we are in huge trouble. And I don't think Pima County has lost sight of that at all. The question is whether we're gonna address substance use disorder and mental illness or not. And jail sure as heck doesn't fix either of those.
All right, Laura Conover, thank you very much. Laura, I hope you and yours have a great weekend.
You as well. Thank you so much for having me, both of you.
Thank you very
much.
Thanks
for coming on.
Dylan, thank you very much for being with us today.
Absolutely, anytime.
All right, we will take our break. And Dan Gibson doing Weekend Watch right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
And that music heralds a new weekend. It is Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson, welcoming all Southern Arizonans. Come over, have a good time, hike in the Gila National Wilderness, hang out in historic Silver City. Good place to start your planning. Before you make that three-hour drive, check out southwestnewmexico.org for what to do. And there's all sorts of activities, where to stay, some great places to stay, and great places to eat as well. Time for Weekend Watch with Mr. Dan Gibson. Speaking of places to eat, something tells me you've got a couple of suggestions.
Oh, well, you know, there's infinite choices. I just try to round it down a little bit for
there
people. If you enjoy eating and moving your body, and who doesn't, truly, Ciclovia Tucson is this weekend. I still am a little befuddled about how to say it. I prefer Ciclovia, but I'm almost certain that's wrong. So there's probably a pronunciation guide some on their website, but I didn't bother to look it up.
I would say Ciclovia, but that's just the way I see it.
Well, you're probably right. You've always been smarter than I am. So, I mean, I'm going to lean on your your expertise.
Sorry.
It's happening all over the downtown area, like through the Lost Barrio, which is actually one of my favorite places in town, through Himmel Park. You don't have to have a bike, even. To-go bikes are free at the Lost Barrio and Himmel Park substations on April 16th. They're first come, first serve. But you can just walk around. It's nice just to be on a street without the cars around. Mm-hmm. And there will be plenty of food trucks, including Tucson Kona Ice, Empanadas El Dominicano, Takoyaki Balls, there's a churro place, pizza, you know, whatever you want. Lumpia, the Filipino delicacy, will be there as well. So if you enjoy food, why not get out, enjoy Ciclovia? I'm still sticking with it, which is happening this Sunday. More information is at Ciclovia. I'll go with the other one, CycloviaTucson.org.
I didn't know about Filipino food. I'm not real familiar with that, but you said there's some kind of a signature dish.
Yeah, lumpia is really tasty. It's a little bit like an egg roll, like light pastry dough filling in it. Lot often shrimp. They got a whole Filipino food hot right now. Really, like only one particular place in Tucson to get it, I think, right now is Nick's Sari Sari store. But you get in with the ube, the. What are the leaves called? I should remember. But anyway, yeah, great food, really flavorful.
Good stuff. All right. Got another one for me.
I do. We live in the city of gastronomy here, the first and best in the United States. If you want to learn a little bit more about where that story came from, you'll head up to Mission Garden tomorrow from 9 a.m. to noon. It is a celebration of traditional autumn agriculture. It's actually a monthly program. They have it the third Saturday of every month, but it's presented by Mission Garden and the Ajo Center for Sustainable Agriculture. They talk about the agricultural activities on the autumn calendar. They demonstrate those activities. You meet in the garden itself. The event is free, but there's a suggested $5 donation at the entrance gate. If you have not been to Mission Garden, it's delightful. It is also starting to heat up, so probably a good time to catch it before the summer kicks in at 946 West Mission Lane, functionally straight across Mission Lane from A Mountain.
And third but not least, I'll take a quick one.
All right. You know what? The El Rio Vecino Block Party is happening tomorrow from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. It's not cheap. I mean, it's $125, but that includes 6 drink tickets, unlimited food samplings, and live music. This year it's themed to the Spanish island of Ibiza. I hear it's supposed to be apparently Ibiza, but everybody says Ibiza because they think they're clever. But that's at the historic Pima County Courthouse, my old stomping grounds. It also supports El Rio Health's Peer Health Navigator Initiative, increases teens' access to healthcare in Southern Arizona. So you're having a really good time with a bunch of fun people, but also doing something for the community. And what more could any person ask for than that?
Well, you've done a lot for our community here on the Buckmaster Show. Thank you, Dan Gibson.
Always a pleasure.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Thanks to everybody here at KVOI, Bustos Media Tucson, of course, Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing. Be well, everybody. Stay safe. Hope everyone has a lovely weekend.